And as far as the you know, I see myself as an explorer of the secrets of the universe, but not the kind of secrets that they explore. They want to understand the secrets of the material universe. And so they go through their life, they make a great discovery, they have a family maybe, have a generally happy life, or just maybe just work in some field that they find rewarding. And they went out in life and got what they thought was fair. They didn't seek the kingdom of God. They didn't seek the things of God. And if at the end, all they received is what they had gotten in this world, that penny, that day's wages, your life's, you know, what you get in return for life, nothing more. What more do they expect from him? You know, I think of all the different possibilities, things men go through. What can lead you down this path, down that path? We all who believe in God, who put our trust in Christ, we want to see God as just. He is. He is just, and he will justify himself and all his doings. And man, we need to understand our position, which is one of absolute worthlessness. We have no bargaining power. We are at his mercy. We come up to the table. I will pay you what is fair. And if he's generous, then he's generous. If he's not, then he's fair. Because there's nothing requiring him to be generous to any of us. But salvation is the ultimate expression of God's generosity and his grace and his love towards mankind. But he's made it clear in the scriptures that he's not going to extend this to everybody. He just isn't. It's not in the plans. And why should it? As I've often talked about, hey, you know what? There are so many people who could exist who don't exist. You know, I could have had a twin brother. I could have had a triplet brother. And I have seven children, but I could have had 70. You know, I mean, there's no end to the number of people who could be. And why don't they also deserve? They're not even getting the penny because they don't even get to go into the field. And you know what? Is that unfair to them? No. He's just being good to the people who he hired, to the people he put in his field. He's good to all of us for putting us here. I'd rather be alive than not alive. I'd rather have this time than no time. And the fact that God has shown me his grace and given me his spirit, it's just overwhelming how blessed that is. And you don't want to take it for granted. Pursue it to the very end so that you might attain the resurrection of the dead. Don't find yourself on the negative end of these prophecies. You don't want to find yourself on the other end of those bowls being poured out. It's not so difficult because God gives us the grace to do it. So, you know, it's in our heart. And he has written the covenant in our hearts. So it's a certainty. If you have faith in him, continue in the faith, and you will not fail. There are some who seem to be coming along, but they won't. You know, there's that too. That's why there's the great apostasy. That's why there's the great whore. That's why there's the wrath of God. And we're going to receive the mark of the beast, yes. There will be much of that. So now we have in the 13th verse, or the 12th verse, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. There you go. You know, look at that. The sixth vial and the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet was poured out, what, on the great river Euphrates. Loose the four angels which are bound in the great Euphrates. And the angels were loosed. Now, there was four angels being loosed there. I'm not sure of the exact connection here. I mean, it's the river Euphrates is again mentioned. And this vial is poured out on the great river Euphrates, and the water is dried up. And that the way of the kings of the east, they're going to cross the Euphrates. And they're going to war. Now that's what it means to me. This is going to take some time. And I don't, you know, This whole part, you know, how is this out of sequence possibly? That's what occurred to my mind, that there's, you know, a sequencing thing here. Well, maybe, I don't know. Because obviously this would require a little time. The spirits like frogs. Three unclean spirits like frogs. This is, again, I see the way in which, remember the trumpets, I saw them as becoming sort of more symbolic. And I see here in the vials too, now we're getting things symbolic. They're unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth. So they're speaking, and spirits are going forth. These are the spirits of devils working miracles. So now, in the face of all this, say the, you know, the out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, but they're going to go forth with miraculous power to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to this great battle, to convince them to go to war against God. And again, the degree to which they're going to know what they're doing, I don't know. Maybe he will convince them that, yes, another power is coming against you, but we can fight him. We can stop him. Yes, they're doing this to you, but look, you know, they're not all dead. A lot of it's just torment. You know, they're having sores and fire, and they're scorched, and they're blaspheming God. And he comes forth saying, with his frog powers, why like frogs? You know, I think of the frogs in Egypt, right? The plague of the frogs. Slimy, hoppy, big mouthed. I mean, why they are like frogs is totally mystifying to me. I don't know. I don't know if I need to know, at least at this point. But they're going forth to deceive and gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. You know, there might be some out of sequence here. I'm not totally sure, okay? But it's just a thought as I go across it. I think, and, you know, does this happen ahead of time for preparation or what? Or maybe I haven't fully understood how this goes, you know, but in any case, verse 15 interjects, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." We want to keep our garments. The garments, you know, Jesus talked about it. When he talked to the church of Laodicea, he said, you know, "You're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that you may be riched, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear."